Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday night, not Tuesday night teaching, every man standing in his place. We're going to be discussing how does the church make it easier for every man to truly stand in his place. We're going to discuss this tonight, how the church makes it easier for every man to stand in his place in his own home. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your grace and your mercy, God, that you have blessed us with. I thank you for all of your goodness, God. I thank you for your love toward us, God. Father, I thank you for your mercy, your forgiveness, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the power to forgive others. And Father, I thank you for you giving us the ability and the power to bless others. God, I thank you for you teaching us how to perfect our love walk so that we can truly stand boldly before you, knowing that we are pleasing you, serving you, trusting you, and obeying you as we submit humbly to your word and we walk in love toward others. Father, I thank you to teach us as men the art of meekness, how to intentionally exhibit strength under control so that we're not weak, but we're also humble in what we do, and we control the power that we wield because we know that we are the instruments of God in the earth. Father, I thank you for you using this discussion tonight to allow all of the men all over the world, in Canada, in Australia, in the Philippines, in Vietnam, in Fiji, in Japan, in South Korea, in Russia, in India, in Saudi Arabia, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Spain, in the United States, in France, in Italy, in Australia, in Hungary, in Poland, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in the United Kingdom, in Ireland, in Sweden, in Norway, and in Latvia, to submit to you and to praise you and magnify you and glorify you in all things and worship you. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire just to allow your word will to be at the center of our life so that we can truly manifest your presence in the earth with signs, miracles, and wonders. Father, I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise tonight by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
I worship
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Live Network, Every Man Standing in His Place. We're going to be discussing how does the church make it easier for every man to stand in their place in their own home. And the reason we're going to be discussing this tonight is because eventually we as Christians have to get real about our relationship with God. And the people who experience the benefits of our active relationship with God as men, the most, the people who experience the benefits of that relationship that we as men have with God are those who are in our household, those who are in our home, those who are under our covering. And it is the fundamentals of the faith that are active in our life that are going to yield the type of fruit that is going to increase the quality of life of the people in our households. And for those of us who understand what those fundamentals are, it's going to reap great benefits. But for those of us who don't, what happens is that there are many things that the devil tries to do to convince you that your relationship with God doesn't make a difference at all. And when you experience the type of challenges that we experience in our homes from time to time, as a man, it can make you feel hopeless if you are not actively engaged with the elements related to standing in your place as the spiritual head of your household. And that has to be a reality in your life, because if it's not real, then you are not going to have the type of power that you're going to have in order to truly be the covering that you need to be in your house. See, as the man of your house, as the man of God, you are the priest in your home. You are the divine authority in your home under Jesus Christ. But when things aren't in order as they should be, what you'll find is that headship of the man of the house will be replaced with some outsider, with some interloper, with someone other than the person who is responsible to protect and provide and care for those in that house. The person who is charged to care for the people in the house and protect them and provide and cover them and under shepherd them is the man of the house, the husband and the father of the children. Not the pastor, not the priest, not the bishop, not your apostle, not some prophet, not some evangelist, not some teacher. The man of your house is the one who is charged to be the covering for your household. Now, one of the things that I've observed is that in many households, what has happened is because the man is sometimes, oftentimes, out of order because he is working according to a worldly model that says you have to work yourself to death, not be actively involved in your home, serve mammon at all costs, have 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs in order to do so, kill yourself in the process of doing so, instead of trusting in God, leaning on God, relying on God, and operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, and being available and present in the lives of the people in your household. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to make a living. It's necessary to make a living. But what God promises us is that when we do his work, first, Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and all these things will be added unto you, right? So we do not have to become slaves to this world system. And in deciding not to be a slave to this world system, then we have to decide that we're going to do it God's way. And when we decide to do it God's way, we're going to be free. Because, one, it's not going to matter what people think about how we run our household, because we stand before God. And God is the one who is going to judge whether or not we are running our household properly. But because we're responsible. No matter what happens, you as the man of your house, as the man of God of your house, as the under-shepherd for all of those in your house, you are responsible. No matter what anybody else does, you, because you are the head of that house, are responsible for what happens in that household. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of responsibility. That's why you must rely on the presence of God in your life so that your presence makes a difference. Your presence is effective and effectual in your house because you are praying daily. You are fasting regularly. You are studying God's word daily. You are actively fellowshipping with like-minded believers so that you are being edified and encouraged and sharpened by having other men of God around you who can let you know what you need to do to go to the next level in your relationship with God, what you need to do in order to fine-tune some of the aspects of your household. Because what you don't want to happen is to have your wife leave your household seeking comfort, seeking leadership, seeking covering, seeking protection in the hands of some charlatan pretending to be a pastor, pretending to be an apostle, pretending to be a prophet, pretending to be an evangelist, pretending to be a teacher, who is really just a wolf in sheep's clothing, looking to take advantage of someone in need who feels uncovered. And the only reason that a woman would feel uncovered is because her husband is not securely in his place as a man. And this needs to be taught. It needs to be taught in the church because things are so out of order, just utterly out of order. And when we get to the point when the Word of God makes a difference, when we decide that the Word of God is the authority and not your opinion, not social commentary, not what somebody said or thinks or whatever, but what the Word of God actually says, then we can be bold about the way that we make our decisions. We can be deliberate about how we make our decisions, about what we stand on, about what we stand for, about who guides our hand in covering our households and protecting our households and providing for our households. See, when we allow the Word of God to become the standard, we are no longer bound to the judgment of men and people. We're not. We are free. And see, God needs you to get free, stay free, be free, and live free. And that is not easily done. It's not easily done, because what you're going to find is the more that you stand for God, the more resistance you're going to get, because people don't understand what they're looking at. And it's fascinating, because it really is of little consequence what people think. What counts is what God thinks. But only when we get to the point where we actually believe that God approves, when we allow God's opinion to make a difference, when we decide that only God's opinion counts, then we are going to be blessed with the freedom that comes from standing on God's word. Because, see, when you stand on God's word, you're accountable to God. God sees everything. And because God is present in your life in an active, meaningful, powerful way, then you are going to be available to be present in the lives of the people in your house in a powerful, active, and meaningful way. That's so important. That's so necessary. That's so real. That is so transformative. Because, see, we are to be transformed by renewing our mind to the Word of God, not to the opinions of people, not to the opinions of men, not to the standards of this world, because they'll make you a slave. They'll make you a slave when God has made you free. And if you decide to be free after God has paid the price by sending his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, for you to no longer be bound by sin, to no longer be bound by the opinions of others, to no longer be bound to the economy and what people think, I'll tell you what, this is my personal experience, and you can, you know, take it with a grain of salt. While I was raising my six kids with my wife, we were criticized heavily for the fact that I was the primary breadwinner in the house, and my wife was raising our kids when they were young, and people didn't understand what they were looking at, because according to worldly understandings in the United States, both the husband and wife need to be working in order to make as much money as possible so that everybody in the household can be living a certain quality of life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we live in a so-called liberated society, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody's trying to be free by serving money. But when you do the math, it just doesn't add up, because it appears as if you are literally paying the work. After you add up costs for your wife's nails and hair and wardrobe and transportation and lunch and subtract that from what she makes, and then add childcare on top of that, you're not making money. You're literally paying to work. And it's sad, because the people who suffer in that situation while people are chasing money are the children, because you can't get that time back. And so you need to be in a situation where the wife trusts God, because the husband trusts God, because we're standing on the promises and the Word of God together, and we are putting our the well-being of our children in the hands of God, because God is covering Christ, who's covering the husband, who's covering the wife, who's covering the children. And the children are covered because they need the most levels of covering. But God, who needs no covering, has no covering at all. And Jesus Christ, who submits to the full authority of God, is covered by God himself. And then man, as he submits to the authority of Jesus Christ, is covered by the authority of Jesus Christ. And then woman, as she submits to the authority of her husband, is covered by the authority of her husband. And then she is able to effectively cover her children and know that her children are protected by her husband, by Christ, by God, and nothing is going to get through all of that to her children, so she no longer has to worry anymore, right? Now, that's when things are being done decently and in order according to the scripture. Where does it say all that? Okay, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I deliver them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." That is structural. That is God over Christ, over man, over woman. And this creates the framework for a household that allows a man to effectively take his place in his house. Where is a man's place in his house? Under Jesus Christ, under the authority of Jesus Christ. That is under the authority of God and over the authority of his wife. But what we see oftentimes happen in our churches is the man, not understanding the word, will shy away from church, because church without knowledge of the word will challenge his authority in his household. And without knowledge of the word, you will have people in church, oftentimes men, who are trying to usurp the authority of the man of the house, of the husband, of that wife, and providing leadership and direction to that wife, because the husband is not able to effectively provide that leadership until he grows to a certain point in his knowledge of the word. This is why studying God's word, why praying, why fasting, why fellowshipping with like-minded men of God makes a difference in your life and is absolutely necessary if you're going to get this right. Because if you don't, what you're going to find is you're going to live in a house chaos and a lifestyle of confusion. And what should be happening in your house as it pertains to the word of God is not going to happen in your house, because things are just out of order. So how can the church make things easier for you to stand in your place in your home? Well, first, point out where your place is. Take some time to sit down and read 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3, and understand that God, who needs no covering, is over his son Jesus Christ, and his son Jesus Christ obeyed him in all things. And because Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things, God says in Philippians 2 that he exalted him above all and said that at the name of his son Jesus Christ, every knee in heaven and every knee on earth and every knee under earth is going to bow down to him to the glory of God. That is powerful. And because of Jesus Christ's obedience, because God could trust Jesus Christ with the assignment he had to fulfill for our salvation, for God's grand plan and God's master plan. God's master plan was that he would dwell with his children and his children would dwell with him in perfect peace and perfect harmony. That's what Jesus Christ is in the process of doing right now. Jesus Christ is in the process of putting all of his enemies under his feet right now. And we're to be helping him. We're to be helping him doing that by setting things in order in our homes. As men of God, we don't play. This is not a joke. This is real. And when the devil comes against us, we have to come against the devil with the word of God, with a relationship with God that is operating in the fullness of the power of God. So we can't have a form of godliness and reject the power of godliness. We have to embrace the power of godliness. We have to fully embrace the power of the Holy Spirit so that when the devil comes in contact with people in our household, he flees because we humble ourselves before God as the men of the house, as the covering of the house. And in the way we humble ourselves before God is by submitting to the authority of his son, Jesus Christ. As we submit to the authority of God's son, Jesus Christ, then our wife can securely submit to our authority, understanding that there is no authority over us that is between us and Jesus Christ. You're the head of your house. You're the one who's going to be held accountable. And if there is anyone else on the line, I invite them to participate in this discussion because it's real. It's alive. And people are going to be delivered tonight because we're not playing around. I'm not tiptoeing around the devil. And I don't think anybody else who's in this discussion is going to be tiptoeing around the devil. So I would like to invite anyone else who's on the line right now to participate, to share your thoughts on this. Is there anyone else who would like to discuss this issue of how does the church make it easier for a man to stand in his own home? Anyone? I hear someone. Yes. Go right ahead. Your wife.
Yes. This is your wife. And I think that one of the things that I can appreciate about this topic is order and structure. You see, being married to an architect, I have adapted and understand structure because it's something that I guess I just picked up just by being married to him and understanding how foundations are important and even how you're supposed to dismantle something is important. So it's basic about structure and design. And when it comes to the Word of God and how he designed family and the man's place in the home, standing in his place, truly a man of God, and just being not a perfect person, but deciding to be in order. You know how some people say that's out of order, this is out of order. Well, really, when it comes to the structure of the home, there are certain things that should be in order. And we do see the manifestation of when things are out of order. But you know what? We've normalized, and that's one of those overused words these days, we've normalized disorder. And so it goes back to that verse in the scriptures that says we've called good evil and evil good. And I believe it's in one of the prophetic books. And it was significant and indicative of a time and an age and an era when that was going on. And so that prophet had to speak to that. And I truly believe when we talk about disorder, we got to go back to the beginning and start talking about the order of things. We can't preach or teach about this enough because we are normalizing disorder. And people that don't know no better will be hoodwinked or deceived by saying, no, this is how it is. It's how it's always been. But when you're a Christian who's trying to submit to the word of God and the way he designed things, you will probably be one of the people or let's say a role model where, you know, sometimes role models are, you know, praised and sometimes they're not. But I think when you become a role model because you decide to stick by a standard and a value system that is an ancient value system that works. And so when we see things out of order, we'll be able to be one of the problem solvers, I would say, or can really be able to contribute solutions and make it practical how we live every day. not dogmatic, not being religious or legalistic, but just to say, I live my life by these principles. When you decide to live your life by these principles as it pertains to order and design, then there it's easy to see the fissures, the breaches. It's easy to see where things got off and then begin to build from that place. So this is a topic, of course, that's a very good topic. I am not a man, but I also know just by looking in society or even in things in our homes when things are out of order versus when they are not. When a godly man, not a perfect man, decides to be that in his home.
Amen. And you know what? That's very good input. And I'll tell you why. Is in the world, they have this thing, not really in the world, even in the church, in the carnal church, there is this attitude that we see arise between husbands and wives. And a wife will say something to the husband like, when you're perfect, I'll submit to you. Basically is what it comes down to. Now, we know that after Jesus Christ left here, the last perfect man left. That was it. And so now what we're looking at, what we're dealing with is something, you know, it's not that. And what God is asking us to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect us, to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to allow the Holy Spirit to undo the ravages of sin in our life. See, sin is designed to make you a slave. Sin is designed to remove your hope from you. Sin is designed to make you hopeless. And the devil can shake you up in your house and create a place that is not a sanctuary to turn your house into a job, so much so that you want a job to escape your house. You want to go to work so bad to get out of the chaos in your house because things are out of order, out of order. And it's because we're not teaching order in the church. We're afraid. First, we're afraid to say that God is over his own son, Jesus Christ. What's so controversial about that? The Bible says that Jesus Christ submitted to everything as it pertains to the commands of God, his heavenly Father. And because he obeyed God in everything, that God highly exalted him above everything, so that at the name of Jesus Christ, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth would bow and should bow and will bow to the glory of God. That is essential. And now to understand that under the authority of Jesus Christ is the man of your house, your husband, not your pastor, not your apostle, not your bishop, not your teacher, not your evangelist, none of that. Not your deacon, not your elder, nobody else, your husband. And it is your job, if you are more mature as a Christian, if you were raised in this and your husband was not, your lifestyle is to be ushering your husband closer and closer and closer to God. Because when he looks at you, he is seeing love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, because the Holy Spirit is producing that in your life as his wife. And if he's a new Christian, he wasn't raised in this. He is being encouraged to study God's word. He's being encouraged to pray. He's being encouraged to fast. He's being encouraged to fellowship with like-minded men of God who can help him grow and develop and become stronger in his relationship with Jesus Christ so that he can intentionally submit to Jesus Christ as his master, knowing that his authority comes from that. See, if you're anybody in the world knows that you have no authority unless you submit to the authority above you. So if you come in contact with a policeman and that policeman does not yield to the laws of the state in which he is charged to enforce, then that policeman is forfeiting his authority because he is out of order. You as a man in your house, a man of God in your house, if you are not submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ, you are forfeiting your authority in your house deliberately because you refuse to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ in your house. And so in order to take your place in your house, you have to be taught how to effectively yield to the authority of Jesus Christ in your house. So prayer, fasting, study of God's word, fellowshipping with like-minded believers is essential. What passages of scripture would I encourage you to spend serious time studying in order to strengthen your walk with God and your place in your house so that you can easier walk with God in your own home as the head of your home? I would encourage you to first read Galatians chapter 5 that talks about the difference between being a carnal Christian and an actual Christian. I would encourage you to read Matthew chapter 5, which is a great guide for life and how to truly submit to God in all things and the authority of his son, Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to read Matthew chapter 6, which will further encourage you to submit to the authority of God and his word and Jesus Christ and to pray and to fast and how to pray and how to fast and how to do your good deeds and how to forgive, because this is essential to being the head of your household. And then I would encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 4 so that you understand your place in the broader body of Christ. But we already read 1 Corinthians 11:1-3, so that you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman, a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And so we stand in order. We celebrate order. We embrace order. And we understand that we have authority because we submit to the authority of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you what they do in the world. In the world, they say something like, only God can judge me. What they're really saying is, I get to ignore Jesus Christ and his authority, and I'm going directly to God. And God said, no man comes to me except through my son, Jesus Christ. We know that Hebrews says there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. There is no way to get to God except by passing through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that allows us to come boldly before the throne of God. If you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ, then there is no way for you to get to God. That's by design. That's order. And so then when you submit to the authority of God's son, Jesus Christ, now you are in a place of authority yourself as that man who can truly cover his woman, who can then cover his children, and you can stand in your place in your household without question, and there will be no one else that can push you out of your way in your own house. No interloper from church or from work or from the country club or wherever else, because I'll tell you what, when you read in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about everything from Jesus Christ forbidding oaths to going the second mile with people who are unreasonable, to loving your enemies, to understanding the sacred binding of marriage, understanding adultery in the heart, understanding murder in the heart, understanding Christ fulfilling the law, understanding that as believers we are salt and light, and understanding that we're blessed because we're poor in spirit, we're blessed because we mourn, we're blessed because we're meek, we're blessed because we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're blessed because we're merciful, we're blessed because we're pure in heart, we're blessed because we're peacemakers, we're blessed because we're persecuted for Christ's sake, we're blessed when people revile us and persecute us and say all evil against us for Christ's sake, you know, and we rejoice and we're exceedingly glad because we know our reward in heaven is great. Because we're not the only people who were persecuted this way. They persecuted the prophets in the Old Testament the same way, right? But see, when you do things in order, decently and in order, you're going to get the type of resistance from the people who resist order. Think about it. Somebody who says you can do whatever you want, however you want, just get something done. It doesn't matter. You have your truth. I have my truth. That type of mentality is going to resist order. It's going to resist the word of God. They're going to embrace dysfunction and chaos. And what they're going to get is doubt, worry, fear, sickness, disease, and everything that comes with that. And so God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, so that we could live a life more than abundantly. First, spiritually, so that we have the fullness of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us, so that we could boldly embrace the power of God. Not only have godliness, but embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then we can go even further and seek to do our good deeds to please God by secretly caring for the poor and the widows and the orphans and the fatherless and the foreigners. We could secretly fast so God could openly reward us. We could secretly do our good deeds so that God could openly reward us. We could secretly pray before God so that God could openly reward us. And we could openly forgive so that God could forgive us. And see, when God sets it up like this, what he's doing is forcing us to intentionally resist our flesh. He's forcing us to do things exactly the opposite of how we would do them according to our flesh so that he can get glory. So that we can truly be free, so that we really don't care what other people think anymore. Because see, when you get past people, when you get past people pleasing, you're truly available for God at that point. Because what you do, you are doing to the glory of God. And that is going to bless you. That is going to strengthen you. That is going to encourage you. That is going to make you more available for your family. You can truly be present in the lives of the people that you're responsible for, the people that you love, the people in your household, and they will be blessed by your presence alone. See, it's not the money. It's not the stuff. See, kids, they will, for a certain time, especially in their early 20s and such, they'll have a certain type of feeling about the way that they were raised and brought up because they're going to observe people who had more stuff. And they're going to say to themselves, well, if my parents had done things differently, I would have had this and I would have had that and I would have had this. But they're going to realize as they get older that they had their parents present and active in their life, who placed a love for God in their heart, who placed a knowledge of God's word in their life, who gave them something of tremendous value by having a household that was in order, according to 1 Corinthians 11, 1-3. And so when you benefit from that, then your children are the ones who are going to be the primary beneficiaries of that. But beyond that, your grandchildren are going to be the beneficiaries of that because you have set an example for restoration, for healing, for order, for success. See, God says you'll have good success when you do the things that he's commanded you to do. We need to stop taking God's word as optional suggestions for things you might consider doing. It's that type of attitude that sets you up for failure. And see, the devil wants you to fail because if you fail, it takes you further away from God. It causes you to move further away from God. But it says that when we humble ourselves before God, in James chapter 4, when we humble ourselves before God and we resist the devil actively by obeying God's word and God's commands, that the devil flees before us. He runs from us. See, that's us embracing the power of the Holy Spirit, operating in that power and moving forward. That's your place. Your place is a place of power. It's a place of purpose. It's a place of praise. It is a position of privilege when you truly walk in that place. And see, when you actively stand in your place, we don't apologize for that. It might not be politically correct. People might not like hearing that God is over his son, Jesus Christ, and his son, Jesus Christ, is over man, and the man is over the woman, and the woman is over the children. They don't like hearing that, but because it's not politically correct. It's not popular. It's not consistent with the world's values. You know what? This world is not where we want to be when everything goes down, because this world has a lot to answer for by ignoring God's son, Jesus Christ, and not embracing his payment for all of their sin. See, when you reject the payment for your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and the payment for your physical wholeness by the beatings of God's son, Jesus Christ, then you are rejecting God. Because God gave you his best. God gave you his first when he sent his son to die for you so that you could live a more than abundant life spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, right? You could be blessed, but you decide to be cursed because you don't want to do God's things God's way. You want to do God's things your way. So instead of fasting secretly, you want to fast openly, so that men can say, oh, look at how they're fasting. So, oh, they're such a martyr. They're suffering from God. God says, look, if you're fasting, don't look like you're fasting. Look like you look any other day. Fast before me so that you can please me. God says, hey, when you're praying, pray before me. Don't pray to be seen by others and put on a show by others and this, that, and the other. It doesn't mean that we don't pray publicly because you know what? People need to hear a heart for God. People need to hear how to pray. People need to experience the power of God delivering and interceding for those who don't know how to pray for themselves. So that doesn't mean we don't pray corporately. What it means is that in our active personal prayer life, we are praying with God before we get into those public spaces, before we get into those corporate places, before we get into the place where we are in corporate worship, corporate prayer, when we are together worshiping God, praying to God, serving God, right? We're not praying, even then, we're not praying to be seen by men. We're praying before God, and while others are praying, we're speaking in tongues to ourselves so that our corporate spiritual effectiveness is reaching into the heavenlies and having an effect because, see, the devil's in heaven. Unbelievers believe that the devil is in hell because they don't know the word of God. But when you know the word of God, what you understand is the devil is in heaven before the throne of God, accusing the brethren, you and I, daily accusing us, saying we're not worthy. We did this. We did that. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. Trying to get permission to come down and ravage our life. That's why we have to do what it says in James chapter 4, verse 4, and humbly submit to God and resist the devil actively and watch the devil flee from us. See, we have serious issues. Whenever we are dealing with the stressors of life, the things that will come against us are those vices that are common to all men, right? We know that as men, we deal with brawling, we deal with sex, we deal with drugs, we deal with firearms, we deal with pornography, we deal with all kinds of things, adultery, we deal with things that are the devil's way of trying to enslave us, the devil's way of trying to destroy us, the devil's way of trying to diminish us, the devil's way of trying to convince you that you're not even a man. And see, that is how fear, doubt, worry, and unbelief makes you less than what God created you to be. So when you decide you are not going to submit to the values and standards of this world is when you are going to watch yourself increase your standing in your own house. See, it's your standing in your house that matters, not your standing out in the world. Those people don't know you. They don't really care about you. They care about what they can get from you. And so what you need to be able to do is love the people that are in your house. And many times they will make it challenging for you to do that. Many times they will make it very difficult for you to do that. But what that's going to do is it's going to sharpen you. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to prepare you for what you're going to experience in the world, because if you think the people in your house don't care, the people in the world really don't care. But that's why I encourage you to spend serious time in Matthew chapter 5, because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who have strength under control, like Moses. Moses wasn't weak. People confuse meekness with weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Moses is referred to as being weak. Meek, not weak. We are to be meek. And it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, it didn't say we had to be perfect. It says we have to be merciful. And it says if we are merciful, then we will obtain mercy, right? It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That should be our desire. Our desire should be for our heart to be pure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You don't think people are going to come at me for saying that God is the head of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is the head of man and man is the head of every woman? I'm not making friends with that. I'm just standing on the word of God and taking what comes, because what's coming is an attack of the devil. But when the devil comes against me, he has to flee, because I am going to humble myself and submit to the authority of my master, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when I do that, the devil is going to flee before me, because he's looking for an opportunity to put forth an accusation against me that's going to stick. And if I am not developing my relationship with God by prayer and fasting and studying God's word and fellowshipping with like-minded believers, I would fall victim to those attacks of the devil. And it would cause me pain, and it would bring confusion in my household, and it would make my wife less able to trust in my authority, because it would yield chaos in my household, and I don't want that. I reject that in the name of Jesus Christ. So it says I'm blessed when they revile and persecute me and say all evil against me for the name of Jesus Christ. See, when we say what the word says, we're free. When we say anything else, trying to be popular, trying to fit in, trying to go along and get along because they're very popular with people who believe something other than what the word of God says, you know what? They got to take that up with God, because God says he magnified his word above his name. And if God magnified his word above his name, you can't put anything above that. So you have to submit to the authority of God's word. And if you don't, your issue isn't with me. Your issue is with God. It's with God. So look at what it says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. See, that's what we as leaders in our household need to tell everyone, is follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. So if you see me not following Jesus Christ, don't follow that. But as you see me submitting to the authority of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my master, imitate that. And he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. The head of Christ is God. You need to get that. You need to stand on that. You need to embrace that. You need to submit to that so that you can then approach Christian unity in Christ by endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, loving one another, bearing with one another, long-suffering and gentleness and lowliness, right? We can walk worthy of the calling wherewith we were called, right? And see, we are getting to that place where the reality of the word is going to make a difference in your life. And you have to learn how to make this your own. You have to learn how to embrace this. You have to learn how to not care about what people think and begin to care about what God thinks. Because pleasing God is all that matters. Serving God is all that matters. Trusting God is all that matters. And operating out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit by obeying God is all that matters. But the world is going to try to sell you something that looks like Christianity but is not. The world is going to sell you serving money. The world is going to sell you pleasing people. The world is going to sell you leaning to your own understanding. And the world is going to sell you operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And what they're selling you is bondage, slavery. It is a decorated, fancy Easter egg on the outside that is rotten inside. And if you crack it the least little bit, it's going to stink up the whole place where it is. So your whole house is going to be full of stench, because what's inside of that pretty Easter egg is rotten and dead. And so that is not the type of life we want to be living, where the outside's all shiny because we've been serving money, because we got five jobs and none of our kids know us, and our wife is barely in contact with us, because we are pleasing people so much that everybody in the world thinks we're the best thing in the world, and we're doing everything for everything, everybody else in our community except the people in our house. That's a shame. God says, if you don't meet the needs of those in your house, you're worse than an unbeliever, worse than an unbeliever. Your ministry starts at home. Stop allowing others to take your place in your house. I don't care if they call themselves bishop, deacon, elder, apostle, pastor, teacher, whatever elder, whatever they call themselves, they are not over you in your house. You are the head of your house. God holds you accountable for what happens in your house. And you have to get to that place where you understand God trusted you with those people. If God didn't trust you with those people, he wouldn't put them in your house. But now we have to understand that there is an order as it pertains to spiritual gifts. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Then it says in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right? Stop right there so that we can really get this. He didn't say he himself, speaking of Christ, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers for the usurping of the head of the households of the saints. He didn't say that. He said for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Well, when you equip the saints for the work of the ministry starts in your house. The ministry of reconciliation, that starts in your house with your wife and your children and your friends and your family, in your house and your servants and your employees, in your house. And the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are your staff. They're supposed to be equipping you, strengthening you, encouraging you, prepare, not taking your place in your house for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, they're equipping you for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. How you build up the body of Christ is by having strong households. See, strong churches are really collections of strong families that have things done decently in order in their households. And if you don't take care to disciple others to take care of business in their households, what you can see happen in some churches is that those strong households, those strong families, will take control of the weak families who don't understand order in the household, and they will allow the strong families to live off of the weak families and control the weak families and not empower the weak families when they really have the ability to transfer an example of what's available. But if you're operating in a carnal worldly model of pleasing people and serving money and leaning to your own understanding and operating out of your own natural strengths, talents, and abilities, what you'll believe is that your special club or your unique family, your well-positioned, politically connected family that has been in an historical position of dominance in your denomination or your church or your community for whatever length of time is entitling you to a place of power, position, or preference. And you're not going to be looking at the fact that, hey, if you are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, you're supposed to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. See, Christ is the head of the church. Not the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're just the ones who are equipping the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. But somehow, the devil, as he takes everything and twists it and turns it into something it's not, the devil, the same Joker that took the rainbow that served as a marker for God's promise that he would never flood the world again, took that rainbow and made it the sign of pride. And God says he sets himself against the proud. And they stole God's sign that is supposed to be a sign of comfort and said, oh, this is pride. Now, the rainbow stands for, well, somebody told you that an apostle was over your husband. Somebody told you a prophet was over your husband. Somebody told you an evangelist was over your father. Somebody told you a pastor was over your father. Somebody told you a teacher was over your father. And yet what God said is the first commandment with a promise is honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you, and you will live long on the earth, right? So if I'm going to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying and building up of the body of Christ, so we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then I am going to be acknowledging Jesus Christ as the head of the body of Christ. I'm not going to be pretending as an apostle to be the head of anything. I'm not. As a prophet, the head of anything. I'm not. As an evangelist, as the head of anything, I'm not. As the pastor, as the head of anything, I'm not. As a teacher, as the head of anything, I'm not. At most, I am an under-shepherd under the authority of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body of Christ. See, we're all members of the body of Christ, members of the body of Christ in particular. And see, here's the thing. As a member of the body of Christ, so Jesus Christ is the head. The head is everything from the neck up. That's Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is everything from the neck down. Every portion of the body of Christ is necessary. Look at what it says. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, that's everything from the neck down, join and knit together by what every joint supplies. So we're all supposed to be supplying something to the body of Christ to strengthen the body of Christ according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So everything that every part of the body of Christ does from the neck down is supposed to be the build the whole body up. But if you get into carnal Christianity and how they have set this thing up, turn it into something that it's not, and replace Jesus Christ as the head of the body of Christ with some apostle and some prophet, and I'm going to say it like this, replace Jesus Christ as the head with some false apostle, some false prophet, some false evangelist, some false pastor, and some false teacher, instead of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and instead of edifying the body of Christ, instead of unifying us in the faith to a knowledge of the Son of God, what they're going to do is they're going to try to replace Christ as the head of the body of Christ, and they're going to try to replace you as the man of God and head of your house. And you can't let that happen. You have to stand on the promise of the Word of God and let yourself be equipped by a real apostle, by a real prophet, by a real evangelist, by a real pastor, by a real teacher. You have to let yourself be prepared for the work of the ministry so that you're able to build up the rest of the body of Christ, right? So that we can all come to a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. See, when we do that, then the body of Christ is going to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. and we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's how we got all these different denominations. Everybody wanted to be ahead so that everybody could have control, so that everybody could get some money, so that everybody could be in charge, so that their special family could be in control and their special club could go get some money and influence and all this stuff. And then it says, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know what that is? That's all the secret meetings. All the secret meetings where they try to figure out how they're going to get people to do what they want them to do so they can get money, power, and control. It's evil. It's wicked. It's ungodly. You got to call it what it is or it'll creep into your house. And when it creeps in your house, as a man, it can knock you out of place. It might send you back to drinking. It might send you back to smoking. It might send you back to brawling and shooting and doing whatever else it is you do. It might send you back to the strip club. See, you got it. I thank God I haven't been in a strip club for over 26 years now. And God delivered me. And my thing is, it is the kind of thing that allows you stand in your place because you're no longer subject to what you were subject to before. And the world will tell you, oh, yeah, you're a mover and a shaker because you're doing business and people respond to you throwing money. You know what? Those same people who are throwing money in the world, they get in the church and then they clam up. They're counting every month, every dime, every penny, I can't give too much. I can't do this. I can't do that. And you know what? That is not going to fly. Because, see, God, you were bold in the world. Don't come in the church and get shy. You were generous in the world throwing money around, trying to get people to acknowledge you because of how much money you were throwing around. Don't get stingy now. You're in the body of Christ. Now's the time to be given so that every joint can be knit together and have its need met in the body of Christ. There should be no lack in the body of Christ. So let's talk about the new man. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, Adam was created in true righteousness and holiness, and then he sinned, right? Then God had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, 4,000 years later to undo all that damage so that now we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind and we can reject that official losership and stop being losers. Stop being a loser. Stop being a loser. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at what it says in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need, right? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And I have to do better with this. I really do. In the construction industry, I'll tell you, there are times when a corrupt word might proceed out of my mouth. This says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, what is good for the necessary building up of the body of Christ, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, right? Man, that's a word. That's it. That's all you need to hear. That's how the church makes it easier to stand in your place in your home, by not usurping your authority under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gets his authority from God himself. That's it. So don't allow others to replace you in your house, because that's not what they're supposed to be doing. Their job is to equip your wife, to equip your husband, to equip you, to equip your father, to equip your children for the work of the ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to a perfect man, understanding that Jesus Christ is the only head of the body. The body of Christ is everything from the neck down. That's you and I. So don't let anybody pretend to be in the place of Jesus Christ. And understand that under Jesus Christ is the man in the house. Your husband is the head of your house. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you encouraging someone tonight to walk in the fullness of all of your blessings. I thank you for you encouraging someone to walk in the fullness of their authority that you've given unto them, so that they can know you for real, so that they can stand in their place without doubt, without worry, without fear, without unbelief, so that they can stand on your word and the promises in your word without making apologies to others who resist order, who resist your word, who resist the things of God in the earth because it does not agree with their philosophy or their experience or their opinion. Father, I thank you for how you magnify your word above your name and given us the ability to stand on that word and to walk in the fullness of it and to see the benefits of submitting to your word and operating it in our life so that we can receive the blessings thereof and extend those blessings to others. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from every man standing in his place, be ye transformed.
Give me the word, 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 Your holy word. If I can hear from you.